Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Time for Toker Talk Radio, where we let what's left of my hair down and take your live calls at 844-207-2346. That's 84-420 Radio. I'm Radical Russ, your host and disseminator of marijuana information. Happy to be doing it. We'll be doing this from Phoenix, Arizona next week, starting on Tuesday. We're going to have the next couple of Mondays off, folks, because I'll be flying the next Monday to Phoenix, Arizona for the Southwest Cannabis Expo and preparing for my debut the following Tuesday, Election Day, from Columbus, Ohio for CannabisRadio.com. That's right. We're going to make that transition in just a few days now. So the podcast will be housed through CannabisRadio.com, and you'll be able to find more about me at CannabisRadio.com. So this will be a good breakout event. Live election night 2015 coverage from Columbus, Ohio, where legalization is on the ballot. So that's going to be fun. It's going to be the fourth election in a row I've done from the state, from a state that is voting on marijuana legalization. Did Oaksterdam in 2010. Did Seattle in 2012, Portland in 2014, and now Ohio in 2015. So looking forward to that. And thank you for all the sponsors and people that have chipped in to make that possible. Really appreciate it. Then in November, we'll be bringing you coverage from the High Times Cannabis Cup in Jamaica, their first ever Jamaican Cannabis Cup. And we will follow that up with coverage from the Drug Policy Alliance Biennial Conference in Washington, D.C. So plenty of reform coverage coming up the next few weeks here on the Russ Belville Show. We have to get used to saying that. Coming up soon on the Russ Belville Show. Now, I wanted to talk about a story that we covered in the 420 Radio News. And it's about this marijuana breathalyzer. These researchers at Wazoo, Washington State University, say they're a year away from having a portable breath test. And in the story, they specifically say a portable breath test that police can use to detect if someone has recently consumed marijuana. Now, this is problematic because detecting whether I've recently consumed marijuana does not at all tell you whether I'm too impaired to drive a vehicle. And what I fear is in this hurry and rush to have some sort of marijuana breathalyzer, some sort of easy, bright line distinguishing number to separate the impaired from the unimpaired, that we're completely ignoring how marijuana works. And we're unfairly subjecting marijuana consumers to a standard that isn't scientific or defensible. Okay, so here's the thing. When we have the alcohol breathalyzer, it detects how much alcohol is in your system. And if it's above 0.08, we've declared that you're too impaired to drive.
That's not always true either. There are some people at 0.08 who drive just fine. But in a reliable, dose-dependent fashion, you can say someone who's at 0.08 has some marked impairments. But you can't say the same thing about marijuana at any particular number. People who consume marijuana often, like myself, develop tolerance to the impairing effects of THC. Not just that they learn how to, like the old heavy metal cartoon, man, I know how to drive when I'm stoned. Not that you're just compensating, but actual tolerance to the effects. You don't have the effect anymore that a lesser toker might feel. So coming up with a breathalyzer that detects whether or not I've used marijuana in the recent past is irrelevant if it doesn't affect me in an impairing fashion. And this is the government's own stance on this, even when it comes to THC. The synthetic drug Marinol, which is a Schedule 3 drug, on its label comes with a warning that says, until you know how Marinol may affect you, do not drive or operate heavy machinery. Which says to me, once you got it figured out, feel free to drive the forklift. Right? That's the logical inference there, isn't it? So how can the synthetic 100% THC be something for which we can figure it out and be able to drive okay? But the natural THC, if some machine detects it in our breath that we've used it in the past 2 hours, we're suddenly guilty? What this is becoming now is a law that's going to criminalize not impairment, but irresponsibility. Irresponsibility based on a false metric. It's going to declare anybody who was irresponsible enough to get behind the wheel within 2 hours of smoking pot, let's say, is as guilty as someone who actually got themselves impaired by alcohol in a way that could hurt someone. The guy who's caught for smoking the joint just 2 hours ago might be just fine as a driver and no threat to anyone and perhaps maybe even a better driver than the average. But we're going to punish him because he just recently smoked pot. If that's the case, fine. But then we need to change the way we deal with alcohol. If we can smell alcohol on your breath, we don't need the breathalyzer anymore. If we detect any alcohol on you, that means you've recently consumed it, right? So there needs to be, if it's going to be fair, there would need to be zero tolerance for alcohol. If you've had it within any recent time or the 2 hour window, let's say, whatever the window is going to be for marijuana, set that window for alcohol and just say that our laws aren't DUIs anymore. They're DURs. Or actually, we could keep DUI, driving, DWI, driving while irresponsible. There we go. Driving while irresponsible. Let's take the word impairment out of it. Driving while irresponsible.
Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. This is 420radio.org, your 24-hour cannabis community radio.
I'm Nick Lachey. Ohio is my home, and I care very deeply about the people here, which is why I'm proud to be a part of a movement that's going to create jobs, reinvigorate our economy, and improve the safety of our communities.
It'll give me a chance to open a business or a job to pay off my college loans.
And legalizing marijuana will provide tax revenue for local safety services. Let's do what the politicians haven't done. For marijuana legalization, vote no on two and yes on three.
Expand your
your horizons and join us every Wednesday night for Gordon Green's Music Planet. You'll hear an eclectic mix of music from all around the world. Catch the first show of the month for an intro to world music. It's Gordon Green's Music Planet, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at midnight on 420radio.org. Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, 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 yeah. Welcome back, everyone. That's music from J-Bug with Crazy.
Listen. Well, it hurts when the only one you love thinks about another guy, and that's all she can think of. She tells you that she loves you.
Welcome back, and there was a couple other stories in the news that kind of examining a trend out here in the West, and that is kind of, you know, maybe I'm hypersensitive to this stuff. Maybe I'm just too cynical, but I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop here with legalization. I keep waiting for that moment or that story or that moral panic that starts to roll back the gains that we've made. And we may be on it. We may be past the tipping point when it comes to jailing people for possession of marijuana. And we're certainly long past the tipping point on medical marijuana, no doubt about it. But I still keep looking for signs of backlash that may temper legalization as we move forward, in much the same way that medical marijuana got tempered as it moved forward, as it reacted to the wake and bake clinics and the tents at the Hemp Fest and the $40, you know, bikini sign twirlers and all the things that caused people to kind of, some people to, in the mainstream, certainly to take this jaundiced view of medical marijuana. And that led future legislators and legislatures and initiatives to move forward with medical marijuana that was more compromised than that, stricter than that, that had to have more strict limits and conditions and registries and not even let people have plants of their own. So I keep looking for those signs when it comes to recreational marijuana. And so in two stories that I put out in the news, there was a similar kind of vein in these stories, and it had to do with medical marijuana grows in Kennewick, Washington, where the city council voted 4-1 to restrict nuisance outdoor marijuana grows. And the definition of a nuisance outdoor marijuana grow is one that can be seen or smelled from adjacent public or private property. So if I can smell your grow, it's a nuisance. And those should be banned or restricted. And in the story, residents talked about neighbors with 45 plants towering 10 feet high, people carrying backpacks of pot out of grow houses with the intent to sell, nauseous smells. And in Oregon, also in the Pacific Northwest, similar story, southern edge of the Pacific Northwest, that would be Jackson County in southern Oregon, where the residents there talk about they live within 100 yards of a medical marijuana grow. It always smells of fresh cannabis. The smell of ripening marijuana is unbearable. There's gunshots at night. There's floodlights and 8 or 9 big barking dogs protecting these places and so forth. Right. So this is where I start to worry that there's the potential for backlash. Add to this, you take this rural kind of story and you start placing it in a city context where downtown business owners start to complain about the smell of marijuana around the downtown city core, scaring off people that want to go shopping, or tales of people living in apartment complexes where they're trying to raise their little kids. They can't escape the smell of their neighbor's marijuana. And there's going to be a moment where some people come to the realization, oh, now I see why marijuana had to be illegal. Because when it was illegal, the people that used it had to control the smell. Ooh, that smell. The smell of it surrounds you. That's right. And that's where I can see, like, if it's my job to examine the defense plans of the Death Star and find the little port, this is where the prohibitionists could get us. And that is, when marijuana is not illegal, you don't have to control the smell. When marijuana is illegal, my God, the smell of it could get you. I mean, Pete, not only could you not have the smell of weed coming out of your house, you would Febreze your clothes. You wouldn't smell like a pothead walking down the streets if you could avoid it and didn't want to have any undue attention from the man. When does the mainstream start to recognize that truth? Because I know there's a lot of people on our side who don't recognize that truth. I do battle with them day after day on Facebook and Twitter. I keep explaining to them, man, you legalize any amount of marijuana and the smell of marijuana is no longer the excuse for cops to mess with your life. Our Leap speaker today, Robert Guest, alluded to that very point. Talking about how the cop, all he needs to do to erase the Fourth Amendment is claim that he smells weed. You can't videotape the smell of weed. You can't audio tape the smell of weed. It's your word against the cop who says he smells weed. And those cops in Texas, when they say they smell weed, they'll shove their hands down your pants and look for it up your asshole. Or around the front if you're a lady, in the lady parts. Not messing around over the smell of marijuana in Texas. And that's why it's so critical to support marijuana legalization. You know, Ohio is one of 10 states left in the United States that has no form of marijuana reform where at least somebody is safe to use some kind of marijuana. The best you get, Ohio has decrim, Nebraska has decrim, the other 8 states have nothing. Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, Kansas, Indiana, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, they got nothing, not even decrim. So any state in that group of 10, you get the shot at legalizing and planting our flag in the middle of those lonely, desperate, desolate areas that are still free from any sort of marijuana reform. My God, you got to take that opportunity. Vote yes on issue 3 and no on issue 2 in Ohio, for God's sake. That's my point. If it's decrim, it's still illegal. They can still mess with you. They can still search you. They can still ruin your day. Make it legal, Ohio. I'm coming. I'm coming to Ohio. Don't disappoint me now. Make it legal. Happy 420, everyone.
It's 420 somewhere. You're listening to 420radio.org.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, everybody. Welcome to our 420 break. Joining us here is our 420 Thursday music editor, Chuck Diesel. How you doing, Chuck?
Good. What's happening with you, Russ?
I'm laid back. Had a good time here. Lindsey Reinhart and Teresa Collins were here for the first hour of the show with three other friends, so we had a full house today.
Yeah, three awesome activists. I'm familiar with Teresa Collins and Lindsey Reinhart. Lindsey Reinhart's been doing stuff with Clackamas County, I think, as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, I think so. I know she's been hanging out at the Portland meetings, the city council meetings, but yeah, I think she's living in Clackamas County, so she may be involved with that as well. We only had the 15 minutes. We could have gone a whole hour with Lindsey.
Yeah, she's got quite a story.
Yeah, it's amazing how these folks that have such daunting medical marijuana issues, the medical conditions they have to deal with, become such strong activists. It's like they just pour their entire heart and soul into doing this, and it's just so refreshing.
Yep. Yeah, it's almost like every time a prohibitionist lashes out, it's like, you don't know what you're messing with, man. You don't know what you're creating in this person.
That's right. A brand new activist after every prosecution. So Chuck, let's get to the music because there's so much in the folder. I didn't know which song we were going to play. Can you tell me?
Yeah, let's go with the Empty Bottles of Water. It's by People Under the Stairs.
Okay. That's perfect as we're coming up toward Halloween, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're a Oakland-based hip-hop group that I've liked. I saw them at the Hawthorne Theater about a year ago, and they were pretty good. They had a lot of energy live and bring kind of that, I don't want to call it like super positive rap, but just kind of that good vibe that you hear in a lot of the Bay Area hip-hop.
Very cool. And so this is People Under the Stairs, Empty Bottles of Water, and Chuck Diesel is our host for this. And thank you so much for bringing us the tune today.
Yeah, enjoy, Russ. We'll talk to you later.
See you later, man.
All right, Hot Light. We are the world. Destiny's Crypt. Oh, shit, man. Man, sitting alone's crazy, sometimes amazing. Physical on the couch, but mentally, yo, I'm grazing in the grass, staring through the glass filled with time. It's hanging in the air, but it really ain't there. My rhyme was dope a couple seconds ago. Couldn't even peep my own flow. Sometimes that's how it goes. Don't even catch myself when I'm wandering around the Badlands, being a bad man, looking for a lending hand. You probably think I'm bugging when I say that I'm the president. And all these other dudes are hesitant. I got the answer to everything. It's all in how the door swings your way or that way out there. I'm right there. Purple hills and purple pills are for people who probably never permanently tried to get live. You lie. Prepaid hip hop taking over the 2G. But this marijuana I'm smoking steady take heat. And every time I blow, she tell me something she knows. A very good listener. We rap back to back and rap pack shorty. This always telling the story. They too busy watching Glory and Belly. Wishing for a celly with a flip down talk switch. Just a pop shit. But this group I came with, we on some rock and roll. Psychedelic paragraphs, I might be thinking too fast. Answers in the form of, but my brother don't ask. Half the time I don't know, it makes sense, and then it don't. I grab a hold and let go, cause it's all for show. And when the curtains come down, I'm still
spinning around like an R&B singer under a waterfall, releasing the soul trapped inside neglected record, translating to rap tap loop the five, the second to sequence the frequencies with ease, moving through the cosmos, remembering the breeze with the sound of the whispering leaves in an endless forest where life's a one and lost belief. Every tree standing at the infinite expanse and mind dance, catching overnight flight to France to water the plant. I travel to a beach where each and every wave sounds like an ultimate breaks of beats, and the streets are paved with slick mats, sitting in cafes with hip cats and canteens in Lima, drinking a six pack, then get back to my life where I'm at, turning on my porch light, cleaning off my welcome mat. So stop by sometime, we'll drop a rhyme or two and sit up on the porch and drink a cold brew, watching the sunset as it moves through the haze. We come out into the music of Los Angeles days, the sun rays, the morning and praise, the warning of waves changing. I'll probably see you there and won't, letting my mind zone, touching you in your own home, transglobal like mobile over corporate affair to the dome piece, flip home piece, the parental release slip and signed. I rhyme while I feel trip.
What's up, everyone? It's Herb Thrasher, and you're listening to 420 Radio. Bongs up!
Let's talk about the plan to legalize marijuana. The politicians are playing games by calling it a monopoly. They'll do anything to trick voters. It's not a monopoly. It's a plan that initially limits the number of growers for strict regulation before adding more. It provides medical marijuana for those in need. It creates jobs and generates tax revenue. If you think it's time to legalize marijuana, this is our chance. Vote no on 2 and yes on 3.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Fridays at noon Pacific for Potstock Radio, podcasting at potstockradio.com. We are the voice of and for the legal marijuana and hemp financial sector. We interview CEOs and leaders of publicly traded companies related to the American and Canadian cannabis industries. Check our online listings for Potstock Radio with Eric, Rye, and Trace from potstockradio.com.
As a police officer, I walked the beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Let's do it. Take matters into your own hands. Make your own grants, make your own business plans. Let's do it. Talk about an ounce a day. Fucking A, the West Coast where I stay.
All right, that's my man, the Dirt Ball, with Let's Do It, featuring Daddy X from the Cottonmouth Kings. Dirt Ball, straight out of Bend, Oregon, one of my favorite hip-hop performers. Check him out, the Dirt Ball. He's also a member of the Cottonmouth Kings now, but man, I just love his rap. Anyway, back to Ohio we go, where there's a story coming out on the Telegraph Forum that Responsible Ohio has raised $15.4 million to legalize marijuana. Yeah, that's some cash money. $15.4 million. Nearly $12 million of it has been collected since July 1st, according to the campaign finance reports, but almost all of it has come from the wealthy investors that will be owning the marijuana grow lands Individual donors netted only $7,695 out of 15.4 million. $7,000 came from individuals, which makes sense, right? If you've heard that this is being financed by wealthy backers, why would you throw any money at it, right? Oh, they got it covered, right? It's like this Sean Parker thing in California. Oh, I'm sure he's got it covered. He's worth $2.5 billion, right? Go right ahead. Legalize marijuana. And issue three, that's the marijuana legalization in Ohio. We'll be there in Columbus covering it for you live on CannabisRadio.com on November 3rd. And the opponents of the issue three have only raised $712,000, most of that from the Ohio Chamber of Commerce. So this is kind of telling to me, right? You got these people that don't want marijuana monopolies, right? And yet they're not raising a whole lot of money to stop them. Now, I don't expect them to raise the $15 million that the issue three has with its investors, because obviously this is a calculated gamble for them. But for the opponents, $712,000 in a state that has 11.59 million people? Come on, nobody can run any sort of serious campaign with that. In Colorado, the legalization campaign was 2.5 million. So Responsible Ohio is like seven times what they did in Colorado almost. And the opponents in Colorado spent $800,000. But Colorado's a much smaller state than Ohio. So this has led to $6 million in advertising and videos from Responsible Ohio, $2.5 million on mailers, and the Strategy Network, the Columbus political consultancy running the campaign, received $2.5 million. That's money going into Ian James's pocket. He's the one that runs that thing. He's the guy, the mastermind behind this whole thing. And so I understand why people, you know, turn their nose up at this, right? It's just rank, like, just blatant capitalism in politics. Like, there's no shying away from this. We're going to use money to make money and buy a market. And that offends some people so greatly, they're willing to vote against legalization. I'm offended by it, but not enough to keep being a criminal. The way I look at it, somebody was going to get rich on marijuana. I'm concerned about keeping people out of jail for it. I'm concerned about changing the laws about it. And this is the only shot Ohio's gotten in 45 years of drug war. And the only shot they're likely to get, unless another wealthy investor comes along who knows they're going to have any more friendly look at what legalization should be. The ballot process continues, but with $15.4 million in this campaign, wait till we see California. We will see $50, $60 million in California before it's all over, if not much more. That's the Waterloo for the prohibitionists. If they've got any money to kick in, any Koch brothers or Sheldon Adelson or the Semblers or whoever might do it, if they're going to kick in, it's going to have to be for California 2016. They lose California and it's all over, folks. It's all over, but just getting the rest of the states through. And that can't last much longer. We can't have that. There'll be some that'll hold out. Idaho could be one that holds out for a long time. A little island of marijuana cruelty in the middle of a sea of progressive marijuana policies, but it's happening. And I wish there were more people that could take a national view of this. A national view, and to understand that we need our victories. We do not need to cede any ground at this early stage to the prohibitionists. We've got the 58%. We've got the majority. We've got to press this issue. We've got to press forward with it by winning. And being able to win in a place like Ohio to set up California. See, if this Ohio thing wasn't on the ballot and California passes in 2016, then it's just the typical progression that people were kind of expecting. Okay, the Western states in 2012, 2014, 2016, those crazy Westerners.
But to have planted the flag in Ohio a year before California then gives you Ohio and California. Maybe Florida's got medical marijuana by that time. And this just becomes an unstoppable juggernaut at that point with Ohio and California on our side. And the rest that'll come, Nevada, Arizona, Massachusetts, Michigan, Maine. Michigan's a big one. Shouldn't discount that one. More medical marijuana patients in Michigan than there are in Colorado. But I just can't imagine voting against legalization. I can imagine not voting for it. I can imagine being so morally opposed to wanting to grant the power the way that's set up that you wouldn't vote for it. I could understand that. I could understand neutrality. I can understand being Switzerland in this war. I can understand it. Conscientious objector, right? But lending your vote to the other side, to the cops and the rehabs and the prison guards and the drug testers and the pharmaceutical industries and all of these entrenched interests that want to keep us criminal because we are the daily grist for the drug war mill, because we are over half of the drug war itself, that without us, the drug war collapses. To fight and fire a shot on their side against us? That's just treason. If this is a war metaphor, right? So I can understand being neutral. But voting against it, man. And then there's that issue too that throws it into a big mess as well. You got this issue too that says no monopoly shall ever be formed in the Constitution. But really, issue two was just made by the legislature to undo issue three. If the majority happens to pass this thing we don't like, marijuana legalization, maybe they'll also pass this thing that will cancel out that thing. I mean, that's just a dangerous precedent to set, politically speaking. Even take marijuana out of the equation. The people want to have an initiative power and the people want to put something forth on the ballot. Then the people can choose to accept or reject that. This issue, too, treats the voting public of Ohio as if they're idiots. It treats the voter as if the government needs to step in so like some little nanny and say, well, are you sure it's going to be a monopoly? Are you sure you want it? I wouldn't want to be setting that precedent with my state legislatures. It's bad enough my state legislature thinks the eastern half of the state doesn't have to obey statewide votes. But this issue two thing, I can't, even if you're against the issue three, right? I couldn't see voting for issue two. And not just because of the marijuana angle, but because also it's just, I mean, here's the thing. This is the thing that's bugging me, because a lot of the people that are against issue three, and I've gone rounds with them in Twitter and Facebook, are against how anti-freedom it is. Right. What they're really meaning is anti-capitalist. It's anti-freedom to get rich a certain way. But to them, their perspective is that that means that's anti-freedom because we should have the freedom to get rich. And I dig that. I get you. But if you're the kind of person that believes that's an anti-freedom thing, how can you then be telling people to vote for issue two? That's not logically consistent. If you're voting no on issue three, you should also be voting no on issue two, because that's a bigger issue of somebody restricting your freedom. Issue three is just about growing pot and getting rich on growing pot. Issue two is about the citizens' power to make laws about anything. And it was hastily written by the legislature to try to short circuit and cut the legs under issue three. But also included in that are a couple other provisions that talk about not granting exclusive rights to anybody for exclusive tax benefits and other situations that, really broadly interpreted, could hamstring the ability of anybody to get an initiative passed if the legislature didn't particularly like it, or if this ballot board didn't particularly like it. And that's a dangerous thing, that not every state has the initiative power. Not every state has this initiative power. It's very rare and precious. There's a whole bunch of people listening to my voice right now who wish to hell they had an initiative system like Ohio's so that they could change their repressive and regressive marijuana laws. And they don't have it. So to think that people who in their hearts support legalization would not only vote against legalization with issue 3, but vote to restrict their ability to enact a future legalization with issue 2. That just blows my mind, and I can't wrap my head around it. We'll find out more about this. And what's really interesting is when I go to Columbus and I report on the election there, there will be people who will be upset that legalization passed and smoking a joint while they're upset about it. That'll be interesting. Or maybe it doesn't pass. Maybe issue 3 doesn't pass. Legalization doesn't happen. And there will be people smoking a joint who are happy, who'll be slapping, who'll be giving high fives to each other, excited that the cops can still mess with them, excited that kids with epilepsy still will be treated, the parents will be treated as criminals for trying to help them with CBD oil. They'll be celebrating that. So no matter which way it goes, it's going to be an interesting show.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
Hey, it's Herb Thrasher, and this is 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
It's time for cannabis facts about Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Music from Pep Love with Runaway Slave, featuring a Toyo dub.
Sharecropping and wet nursing and cotton chopping. No benefits for hip hopping or stock options, but it's better than drug dealing, stealing, or robbing. My brain is bugged. I need to get a lobotomy to get this sickness out of me. My split personality.
All right, so want to talk a little bit about Oregon here. We've got some new laws, or new regulations, I should say, that are making their way through. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission should be set to approve these new set of rules. 77 pages of administrative rules. And among them are the setting of two tiers of production based on the size of the marijuana garden. This is for commercial production. There'd be a tier one license for indoor growers that would be up to 5,000 square feet. Tier two would be 5,000 to 10,000 square feet. Now that's indoors. So up to 5,000 for a tier one, up to 10,000 for tier two, and then apparently nothing greater than 10,000 for an indoor grow. For outdoor growers, a tier one license would be up to 20,000 square feet. Tier two would be 20,000 to 40,000 square feet. So the outdoor growers are getting four times the space as the indoor growers for their tier one and tier two license under these proposed rules. Some producers argue that's too low, but Rob Patridge, the chairman of the commission and the Klamath County District Attorney, let's keep that in mind, the head of the council here, that this commission, five-member commission, none of whom that I'm aware of have any experience with marijuana whatsoever, three of whom publicly admitted to voting against it, voting against legalization. These are the guys that come up and approve or not approve of these rules. He says it's a tough issue. We don't at this point in time have the data to make any right answer. Oh, no. No, there's no data out there, Rob. Not just north of us in Washington State, where they have three different tiers of producers and can tell you all about having not enough producers to match the demand and the problems that wrought. And a state over there called Colorado with a very well-regulated system that can tell you a whole lot about how much it's regulated its producers. They regulate by plant counts. But there's no data. Okay, so there's no data. Just like Hillary Clinton needs more research on medical marijuana. We need more research. We need to have more than 19,000 studies. So, other things in this Oregon proposed laws, on-site consumption by employees of licensed marijuana facilities. Well, we got a similar rule in dispensaries. If you're a medical marijuana patient, you can consume at your job, now at the pot shop or the dispensary. But Rob Patridge said the employees can't be intoxicated. See, and this is something the other side doesn't understand. This is why it's so frustrating when a liquor control commission, people that have never smoked pot, get the say on what happens here. Like, when I was on the radio show the other day and the DJ asked me, are you high? Like, I didn't know how to answer the question. It's like, yes, I've smoked pot recently, but I'm not high. I'm functioning just fine, thanks. Right? It's like they think that, like, you smoke pot and you just magically turn into, hey, man, I'm totally, like, Tommy, you know, just, like, totally stoned, man. Like, there's some demon or some switch that flicks and you're no longer the same person you were. It's just really weird to me. Anyway, other things they're proposing, home delivery is allowed. Only to 21 and older, can't carry more than $100 worth of marijuana at a time. That's kind of, okay, so look, the quarters now are selling in Portland, 60 a quarter, 55 a quarter, sometimes down to 50. So people aren't going to be able to buy more than a half ounce at a time through a delivery. Is that the way that's going to be? Now, I understand they're trying to have this for safety, right? Not have people carry too much on them so that there's an issue that way. But I don't know. Sounds restrictive to me. They want to have background checks on bud tenders. And if a bud tender has a felony, they're disqualified. Rob Patridge says he wants any marijuana-related violation to be considered grounds for disqualification. Again! The idiocy of these liquor people trying to run marijuana. Look, because someone was busted for a marijuana crime, quote unquote, does not mean that they're a criminal. Does not mean that they're a bad person with ill intent. Okay? bud tenders, the ones we want as bud tenders, are the ones who were the dealers and the growers and the trimmers, are the ones who've been the cannabis consumers and may have been busted, may have had a few plants and gotten a charge that's still on their record, may have even done time, but they're the experts. They're the ones that know the most. In order to become an expert, you had to take that risk of getting busted. Why would we disqualify the people with the best experience? Now, yeah, if there's violence involved, if they do show that there's some kind of disturbed, deranged criminal, sure. But not just because they've got a marijuana felony in their background. That could be growing a few plants. And then one other thing that's strange. The proposed rules said that the flavor of a marijuana-infused edible should be on the label. But Rob Patridge said he wants that requirement removed so that it's not appealing to kids. So when we adults are going to be buying our edibles, what, we don't get to see what flavor it is on the label? Because a kid might see the word peppermint and want to eat it? Oh, man, some people, they just want to nerf the world, don't they? They just want to nerf the world, that something bad could happen to a kid, whatever it is, needs to be restricted to the point of the ridiculous. Ah, man, it's a shame. But that's some of the proposals here in the state of Oregon. And another thing that's interesting in the state of Oregon, and I've talked to you about the West Idaho Compromise. The West Idaho Compromise was how they allowed the Eastern Oregon counties, which in my view, as someone who grew up in Western Idaho, I can tell you that culturally, demographically, religiously, geographically, economically, every possible way, the people east of the Cascade Mountain Range, and maybe not into Bend, right? Bend's kind of your like Austin, Texas of the area, but you start getting Easter, more east early. You don't get Easter. You get more easterly and you're just, it's Idaho. It's big open land and ranchers and farmers and just good old folks. So I've been talking about this Western Idaho thing because our legislature decided those counties out there in Eastern Oregon didn't have to follow the statewide law when it came to banning marijuana retailers and for that matter, any part of the marijuana business. No, those counties, because they really, really hate potheads, they don't have to follow that law as far as putting it before the voters. So there's a story in the Oregonian today about Malheur County, Oregon. Now, Malheur County is this huge, it's basically all of southeastern Oregon. If you can imagine Oregon in your head and you drew a line through the eastern quarter of Oregon and then took half of that down, that's Malheur County. It's this huge expanse of nothing. It starts at Ontario, Oregon, which is on the border of Oregon and Idaho. And it was the place we always had to drive to get pot pipes because Oregon had better paraphernalia laws than Idaho. Still does. There's a place called Jordan Valley way in the middle of it somewhere. But like Malheur County is just nothing. It's just desolate badlands, right? So Malheur County, the news out of Malheur County is that there's some farmers that want to secede. They want Malheur County to secede and become part of Idaho. And as they report it in the Oregonian, word out of the Eastern Oregon outpost is that farmers there are agitating to join Idaho, whose conservative agriculture-focused legislature is more in tune with their values than the liberal kooks who stroll the Capitol's halls in Salem. And everything about Malheur County is more identified with Idaho, NISA-based produce shipper Shea Myers told Capitol Press. I wish I knew how to make it actually happen. Now, the NISA and Ontario and that area of Oregon is actually in the Mountain Time Zone with the rest of Idaho. So, I mean, even their clocks are set the same. And their big local TV stations are the TV stations out of Boise. So, and their football team is Boise State, man. I get all my best Boise State hats at a truck stop in Ontario, Oregon, right? So it's definitely much more, it feels like you're in Idaho when you're in that part. So I can understand why those people would want to secede. And according to Gail L. Batt, a Republican state representative in Idaho, she says, quote, "With the kind of agricultural industry they have over there, we'd take them in a heartbeat." Now, I think this is worth investigating. See, I think we have this gerrymandering that goes on in our congressional districts, right? They redraw all these districts every 10 years because of the census. That's the way it is in the Constitution, right? The state legislatures do this. But why don't we redraw some of the states from time to time, man? Eastern Oregon would be so much happier being a part of Idaho. And Western Oregon would be so much happier not having to deal with those votes in the Senate and the House, dragging down the progressive legislature, the progressive agenda that they might have to move forward as a more coastal state. Used to be in this country, if you didn't like the place you were in, if you didn't fit in religiously, politically, economically, there was a frontier. There was somewhere to go. You could go out and set out and be among your own people and have your own setup. But those times are gone. There's no place left to go that isn't already settled. And because of lines that were drawn 100 or 200 years ago, we've got people in states that are forced to have to endure the political leanings of the urban areas on the coast that they don't identify with, when there's a state right next door that does things the way they like. Why should all of them have to move out of Eastern Oregon and move to Idaho to live that way? Why can't we just redraw our states to better match what the people want? That's all the time I got today. Time flies when you legalize. Stay tuned tomorrow, and we've got a lot of guests. Joshua Sheets, the author of Homegrown Marijuana, and John Hudak, a researcher on government's war on medical marijuana. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.